Chapter 46. Shinri 8. A creak in the darkness made Shinri pause, her body tense. It was, of course, nothing. After a moment of anxious listening, she forced herself to relax. She needed sleep. She had been so tired and drowsy last afternoon that she hadn't been able to think properly. Yet when night came, she again found herself unable to sleep, even in the vast comfort of the Queen's chambers. Sighing, Shinri sat up in the bed, resting against the backboard with her legs pulled up against her chest. Avan had not come for her since that first horrible day, but she did not doubt that he would eventually return. He needed an heir to seal his pact with Shinri's father. She didn't know what kept the idiot king away, whether it be simple busyness, or whether he feared her father might send assassins against him once an heir arrived. Whatever the reason for the delay, she blessed the Almighty for it. She glanced to the side, toward the wooden bedstand that formed a shadowy blot in the darkness beside her, and thought of the knife she had hidden beneath its lip. It had seemed like such a brave move in the daylight, but in the darkness she wondered if she'd have the will to use the weapon if Avan did come for her. The man had a strange power to him, a domineering will, a momentum. When she met him in the hallways, she made sure to stop and lower her eyes. She told herself the subservience was simply an act, a way of making him believe that she had been quelled. And yet, she knew that his arrogant humiliations of her had been at least marginally effective. When she cringed at his sudden motions, she wasn't completely feigning. And when she glanced down in his presence, she did so partially because she loathed looking into those calm eyes of his. She was not beaten, but she had been wounded. It was worst at night. Night, when she lay in bed, not knowing if he would come or not, and not knowing what she would do if he did. Even still, after weeks without a visit, she could feel his dry touch on her skin. She felt him upon her when she closed her eyes, and she heard his footsteps in every night sound. There was little wonder that the insomnia of her childhood had returned. And now, the first palace had become his. It had never been a place of true comfort to Shinri, but it had become home. It was the place where Yasna had made a lady from a wild and insufferable child, and it was the first place that Shinri had found acceptance. Yet when she walked its hallways now, she saw only signs of him, his servants, his soldiers, his palace. He had moved into the Vaden wing, and while it was similar to the Aleth section, the similarities only made the differences feel more alien. She had returned to the Aleth section only once. The bodies had been removed by that time, but the stink of death seemed to remain. Shinri hadn't been able to spend long in those familiar hallways, now so eerily empty of life and motion, before despair for those who had been slain, many of whom she had known and cared for, drove her away. Drove her back to him, back into his lair and power. There was no escaping it, not yet, not while he maintained such a careful watch over her. She was allowed to go where she willed within the palace, but if she tried to leave the Vaden section, she was quickly given an escort. Men watched every hallway. There were plenty of soldiers to spare, for the majority of Avan's time had been centered around bringing his entire army through the Oath Gates. Even if she were to escape the palace, large contingents of several hundred men stood guard at each ramp down to the city. And so Shinri forced herself to wait. With gritted teeth, she adopted an air of half-feigned subservience and endured the shame of knowing what it did to her. Lady Yasna's lessons were invaluable. The calming exercises helped Shinri contain her frustration, and the hours spent practicing her political face helped her keep the rebelliousness from her eyes. If Ava knew she wasn't completely suppressed, he gave no sign. Quite the opposite, for the sight of her bowing practically to the ground when he passed gave him obvious pleasure. She tried forcibly not to think of him. Unfortunately, other topics were equally discomforting. Somehow, it appeared that she had opened the oath gate. She had been the one who loosed Arvin's soldiers upon her friends. She didn't know how her betrayal had occurred, but she felt guilty nonetheless. She couldn't remember the experience completely, the feelings and desires she'd felt during that moment when she'd touched the Oath Gate's control opal were gone now. Yet she could remember that she had felt something, that her thoughts had been expanded somehow. What had she done, and why had it worked? The Oath Gates were supposed to be impervious. Both sides had to be open before one could pass through. But somehow she had been able to bypass that rule. Why? What about her had made the Oath Gate react in such a way? Was it her personally? Or was there a specific set of circumstances that had demanded that someone like her touch the opal at that moment? One question was more disturbing than the rest. How had Arvin known to use her in such a way? Again, she had no answers. Her current state was even more frustrating than being locked up in her room, not knowing who had captured her. She could walk about and ask questions, but no one had answers for her. No one but Arvin. At least Jasnah had escaped. Arvin had attempted to suppress the news, but soldiers and servants talked. There was little he could do to stop the rumors, especially considering the dramatic nature of Jasnah's disappearance. Shinri's handmaidens whispered about the large group of servants who had locked themselves in the palace cellars, apparently to make a last stand before being killed. When the soldiers broke down the doors, however, they'd found only empty rooms scattered with dust. It figured that Jasnah would find a way to escape even an impossible situation. There was something about the woman that defied reality. It was as if she could pit her determination against fate and change the workings of the world through sheer force of will. The rumors, in typical Vaden fashion, dramatized the event to almost mystical proportions, speaking as if Jasnah had managed to gather some near-supernatural warriors to aid in her escape. Despite the embellishments, one thing was certain. Jasnah was gone. The fact that Arvin had sent work crews to tear down the cellar walls was enough to confirm that fact. Shinri froze. Another sound? This time it wasn't just her imagination. She could definitely hear the sound of voices coming from beyond the door between her bedchamber and Arvin's. She sat rigid in her bed, jaw clenched, trying to suppress a shiver. Would he come? Would this be the night? The voices continued. One was undoubtedly Arvin. The other was probably the strange Shin man the king kept as his primary counselor, the man many of the servants feared for some undefined reason. The Shin were a strange and arrogant people anyway, and this one seemed even more discomforting. His eyes haunted, his movements so unnaturally smooth. Shinri found him nearly as disturbing as the king himself. He's probably the one, she realized. The king's assassin. The Shin are frighteningly good warriors. Jarna's invasion proved that much. She could see the man's graceful danger slipping in and out of bedchambers, leaving only corpses behind. Someday soon he would probably take Shinri's own father. Or maybe even me. No, that was foolish. Arvin had no reason to kill her. He assumed she was already his. One heir could die of disease. He would want more. If you run from him, he might decide he wants you dead. The thought was like the voice of a frightened child in her head. Shinri didn't want to think of such things. She was strong. Or at least, she thought of herself as being strong. That had always been her greatest resource. When she had resisted her father's will as a child, she had done it telling herself she was stronger than he, stronger than his manipulations, stronger than the whims of the other nobility. She had resisted the monks, then the stormkeepers with the same strength. Then there had been Jasnah, the first one to show Shinri that there were different kinds of strength. Many assumed that Jasnah had simply beaten Shinri into submission, forcing her to obey through a battle of wills. But that hadn't been it at all. That was the mistake her father and the others had all made. Jasnah had offered Shinri something, the ability to control her surroundings, then had let Shinri decide for herself that she wanted it. It hadn't been a battle that had transformed Shinri, but a simple factual conversation about the realities of noble life. Jasnah had offered power, and Shinri had consented to learn. In the end, Shinri's acumen for what Jasnah taught had led to internal battles of their own. However, the strength had always been there. Shinri was strong. That was why she had learned Jasnah's lessons, and why she had applied them. Shinri couldn't let herself be manipulated by the court-goers and her own ignorance. Sitting quietly, shivering in the dark at the mere sound of a man's voice, Shinri finally had cause to question her perceptions of strength. Was it weak to fear the creature who had done such terrible things to her? Was it timid to worry that she wasn't the determined, capable person she had always assumed? Was it wrong to fear that face of his? That cold, inhuman expression? One made all the more horrific by her memories? She could still see those eyes looming above her during the moment of passion. Those horrible eyes that had revealed to her the monstrosity that had become her husband. This was the creature from which she feared to flee. Though she had made her decision to escape, she couldn't stop the childlike whispers of fright from within. He had proven that he was not a man to be defied. What would he do when he discovered that she had run? Would he send the Shin assassin to kill her? Would she awake one night to find those graceful hands at her throat? Or would it be something even worse? Something she hesitated to imagine. A humiliating, even crippling retribution. Something that would break the strength she thought she retained, leaving her a docile and cringing husk. As the voices continued, Shinri's imagination devised 10 sets of tortures the demented man could force upon her. These were the things that awaited her, if she invoked Avan's ire. "I'll just have to make sure I'm not recaptured," she thought, with a determination that she wished were completely unfeigned.